Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to begin. I'd like to begin by saying, fuck Lance Armstrong. Fuck him and his balls and his bicycles and his steroids and his yellow shirts and the dumb, empty expression on his face. I'm tired of that asshole. And while you're at it, fuck Tiger Woods, too. There's another jack-off I can do without. I'm tired of being told who to admire in this country. Aren't you sick of being told who your heroes ought to be? Being told who you ought to be looking up to. I'll choose my own heroes, thank you very much. And fuck Dr. Phil, too.
And especially Tiger Woods and fat... Dr. Phil. I think Dr. Phil is Rush Scumbaugh's sister, is what I think. What do you think? Terrible Tommy here, the bastard of the airways, man, I'll tell you. Right here in north central Indiana in the deep down bunker. Had some rain this morning, but now the sun's out and everything's growing around here like mad, and the grass is growing. Damn, it's going to have to be mowed again in a couple of days. Wow. Hey, it's May the 5th, 2015, Tears Day. That's right. It's going to be a great day. Great day here in north central Indiana. I don't know about where you're at. My lady's coming back tomorrow. She went to see her friends, her daughter on the East Coast. Yeah, way on out there. So she'll be back tomorrow, and I won't have to eat any TV dinners for a while. I won't have to wash my own dishes and wash my own clothes for a while. That's getting a little tiresome after a week. What a mystery for you. You know, I told you that these squirrels or raccoons are smarter than hell around here. And I finally took a cage to put my bird seed block in on the one side of the house. Now get this, I wired the cage shut, and I wired the cage shut, and I wired it down on top of the post where it said. I came out there this morning, and the bird block was gone. Now that sounds like Houdini to me. It wasn't torn open. The wires weren't broken, and it was laying on its side, and every damn thing inside was gone. I just spent $5 on a bird block. Tell me about that. I'm telling you, I'm going to move it back over to the other side of the house where these the big critters can't get to it. But that is a real mystery to me, because the wires are still on it and everything. How did they get that stuff out of the inside? I don't know. Maybe it was a snake or something. Oh, you remember I was telling you about you never know when you do people wrong and you rat them out and you cause them to go to jail for a long time and all that kind of stuff or some other reason, and how you never know what's going to happen? Well, here's a perfect example. The former leader of the IRA was gunned down in the streets of Ireland yesterday, I believe it was. It was on the international news. And now the IRA hasn't been openly active now for at least 10 years. That just shows you better not be nasty to people, because it can come back and bite you in the ass. Yep. I didn't remember who the guy was, but somebody did. That's right. Yeah, all you people that have thought you made a deal with the feds to screw people's lives up, good people. Well, Alan Funt, and surprise, you're on Candid Camera. You never know. You just never know about those things. However, I remember the old mob, they had a way of remembering things. No matter where you went, no matter where you hid, sooner or later they'd usually find you. I think it's over there in Indonesia. I was just hearing that Sharia law, of course, the Muslim law, you'd really love that. Now they've made it illegal for a girl to ride on the back of a motorcycle with a guy driving it. So you're going to have to not only carry your driver's license with you, but your marriage license. You really want to live on, I mean, Christianity's bad enough. You really want to live under that shit? You know, speaking of long memories, the Klan used to be that way back when it had some balls. Not in the 20s, hardly at all. 20s was more of just a lodge. And everything since then, except for a small percentage, has been just fun and games. But the original guerrilla war Klan took care of business, too. Check the history out. Well, you know, they got this black doctor who wants to be a Republican president now. I think he's got visions of grandeur. Says he's a brain surgeon. I don't think I want that guy working on my brain. Now, he may be good. I don't know, but I don't know. Well, anyhow, he's wanting to be the presidente. Well, I think he's thinking that the times may be the same as when Obama got carried away with white guilt, because you know that's how Obama got in. Is pure, unadulterated white guilt. Of course, you had a certain percentage of the country going to vote for him for, you know, regular reasons. But most of the people, other people who voted and Republicans who voted for him and everything else were voting for him because he was black. And they didn't want to feel guilty. They wanted to give the black man give him a break. Come on, give that boy a break. Well, I think they've had enough, at least for a while, of this Negro president stuff. It was sort of cute, and we got rid of a lot of our foibles, and I'm not racist anymore. I voted for the nigger. And the Klan got to, you had to run around and scream and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's over. I think you're going to see things get back a little bit to normal now, whatever normal is. Well, guess what? A cop down, I think it was South Carolina, he's suing Starbucks. They gave him a free cup of coffee, and he spilled it on himself and burned himself, and he's suing for $50,000. I'll bet he's blacker than the ace of spades, too. I may be wrong. Let me know. Well, I'm just so thrilled I could crap my pants. Guess who's going to announce he's going to run for president again? Fat Mike Huckabee. No, not the governor of New Jersey. This is Huckabee the preacher. You know, the one that let the nigger guy that was in for murder out, and he went out and murdered another woman. Remember him? This guy is the sorriest son of a bitch I've ever seen, and whenever he comes on, I just want to smash the... Well, we don't have picture tubes anymore on our TVs. Smash the flat screen. He is one sorry son of a bitch. He's going to run for president. He'll get a lot of these Christian fanatics, because he's speaking as a preacher from the Lord, baby. Last time he ran for president, his main claim was he lost a lot of weight when he was running for president. I heard a talk show guy say this on the radio on a black show. I don't know whether a white guy's got the guts to say that. He said they take guys like Obama after they become president, take them into the adjacent room and say, this is the way it's going to be. And if you're not going to make it this way, we're going to send you on a trip to Dallas. It's the only black people can get away with saying that stuff anymore. White people, keep your mouth shut. You know, this boxing match last weekend between the Octoroon or Negro or Nigger Moon Cricket or whatever you want to call him, the wife beater, he's been hauled in several times for wife beating, girlfriend beating, probably white girl too. And the other guy, I don't know what the hell he is. He's Filipino, but racially he's crossed between Asian, Nigger, everything. That was the sorriest fight. I didn't see it, but I've heard about it. It's the sorriest fight. They took in $400 million on the fight of the century. That was no more a fight of the century than my ass. I mean, you know, back when all the big heavyweights were fighting, including, you know, Archie Moore and the Italian Stallion and all those boys. I mean, you know, and, Joe Louis even, the black. I mean, you know, these were really, really big fights. This was no big fight. $400 million? Boy, what a waste. What a waste. You think there's going to be a rebound? Oh, yeah, and they said that the guys in the bars that paid all this money to watch, it was going off all the time. The satellite was going off, and then it would rewind and fast forward and everything else. What a crock. You see, the more that white people aren't in charge, the more everything goes to hell. You can see technology at the hands of the non-whites just taking a dive, man. But you can have all the modern conveniences and technology you want, but somebody's got to have brains enough to operate them. Like I heard a guy talking about this morning, with all the plants moved out of the country, so they move the plants back. Who's going to build the stuff? All the guys that knew how to do that are getting old and dying off, and the young people don't know how to build anything. Well, I got good news. People are backing off spending so much money. They're saving their money more. And 1,500 Kmarts were closed up, I think it was, and Radio Shacks. Hundreds and hundreds of stores of these big corporations are closing up. That's a great sign, because guess what? All those big stores out there at the edge of town, the ones that went out there and drew all the business out from the little guys and the mom and pop stuff, closing down. Guess what this is going to help? Going to help a lot of smaller stores reemerge in their little towns and in their cities. Mom and pop stores, stuff like that. This is a good thing. This is a very good thing with these big stores closing up all over the place. Now we can get back to revitalizing the smaller towns and cities. One thing that really gripes me about a Walmart or any of those kind of big stores, you got to walk for half a mile to get anything, and then you can't find somebody to help you when you get there. But I think people are either going to the internet to buy things, which I do. Most of the stuff I buy is off the internet. Or they're going to go back to the mom and pop local stores. In fact, in the last few years, 6,000 big stores have closed up. 6,000. The boys have really developed this boycott thing pretty well. If a town doesn't do what they want or a city doesn't do what they want, they boycott so nobody will have their conventions there and they won't have their meetings there. That's their new corporate weapon to force you into doing whatever they want you to do or whatever the race-mixing bastards want you to do so that you have no income to your city. Well, I think that's okay because if it bankrupts the city, so what? Move out to the countryside. Yeah, who needs a big city? Well, man, they're coming ashore by the thousands over there in Europe, in Greece, and Italy, and all that kind of stuff. Listen to this. Wow, man.
That he sent us this report. This is what the Greek Coast Guard faces almost every day. Boats full of migrants arriving from Turkey, hoping to be picked out of the water and brought to safety.
After about 10 minutes of negotiations, now they agreed to stop. They came here. They agreed now, the coastal guards, to bring women and children first.
In total, 42 people were rescued in this operation, including a six-month-old baby and her pregnant mother. They come from all around the world, mainly Africa, and more recently from war-torn Syria. Latifa, her husband, and their three young sons have twice made the crossing from Turkey in a makeshift boat. The first time they paid thousands of dollars, but their dinghy started to sink as soon as they left the Turkish coast. The memory still haunts her.
My youngest son was under the bag in a sinking boat. This was the most difficult time we've been through. We were cold and soaked. We had no blankets. We called both Greek and Turkish coast guards. The Turks arrived first.
Migrants reaching Greece by sea have to be registered by the police. Syrians receive a six-month permit to stay in the country, but for the majority, it's only 30 days. During this time, they must apply for asylum or return. We also met some migrants who told the authorities they were Syrian to obtain a longer permit. The island of Leros sees many African migrants arriving every week from the sea. For some, the journey has taken weeks. For others, years. Like Ali and Mustafa, who left Ghana almost 3 years ago.
Yes, some of people die in the deserts because of no food, no water. Some of the people die.
Most of our friends, they died on the desert. Even coming from Libya to here. Some even died. Some even jumped into the sea.
It is people like Michalis Holovirakis, a Greek Coast Guard captain, who every day saves people from the open sea.
It is happening every day. But our purpose and our job is to be there and save these people. No, but I feel very sorry when I saw the small children, the panic that they have inside their eyes, and the sadness that they have inside their eyes. It's a difficult feeling.
And there's a Greek Coast Guard Captain Michalis Horovirakis ending that report by Murad Shishani.
There you go. Commit suicide, Whitey, but save the non-whites. Save them. Save them. Whitey, save me. Save me. You have to. It's your responsibility. Oh, yeah? Well, the system puts you in that position, plus your genetics. It's a system itself, you know, with all that occupation going on and filling the Middle East up with weapons and everybody killing each other. Go after the system. Pick out some high-ranking people in the system and send them a message they can't refuse. Like in Scarface, when he thought he had the world by the balls, and the Colombians came over his defenses like a hot knife through butter, barefooted, barely clothed, with a knife in their teeth, and Scarface was gone. Pretty cool now. They're developing a type of thing that they can administer to you, antivirus shots, but it's not a needle, and almost anybody can do it. It looks a little bit like Velcro. They put it on your arm or wherever they're going to put it, and these little water-soluble needles go into your skin and apply the medicine, and then they just dissolve. You take it off and throw it away. No dirty needles or anything like that. But they just got that developed, and it's going to be 3 or 4 years before it's widespread. If we're lucky, it might be sooner than that, but that's a hell of a new way to administer shots.
You can't seal them, but nonetheless, they do the job. They are able to administer the vaccine into the body.
So is this sort of like Velcro?
Well, sort of, although even smaller than Velcro, and of course the shape of the small structures is different. Velcro doesn't puncture into the skin, whereas these are sharp needle structures.
Would it be able to deliver any vaccine?
Well, we've tried about a dozen different vaccines in our studies, and we've been successful with each of them. So I don't want to predict that all vaccines will work, but at least until now, it seems that most at least do.
Now, here's what I'm trying to figure out, because when you go to the doctor to get a vaccine, you'd usually have, say, like a tube of liquid. How do you condense that tube of liquid into a patch?
Well, that liquid that's being injected into your arm is primarily water, and there's just a very small amount of vaccine that's in there. So the water isn't important. We get rid of the water. We just save the good stuff, the actual vaccine, and we incorporate that into the microneedle patch.
And what exactly is the reason for developing this sort of patch?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and we're especially motivated. For example, work we're doing now is focusing very much on the measles vaccine, and we're motivated to get that vaccine out to larger numbers of people, especially in places where it's difficult because the infrastructure doesn't allow healthcare to reach people. So, for example, the microneedle patch can be administered by somebody with minimal training. You don't need a fully trained nurse or doctor to administer these patches to patients. In addition, we've been able to develop the patches so that they are thermally stable. You don't need to keep them refrigerated all of the time, and as a result, that makes it much easier to bring the vaccine to remote locations.
I'm thinking constantly of the practicalities of this. So when you stick it on your skin, how does it stay stuck on your skin?
Well, there is an adhesive that we put around the edge.
So like a Band-Aid or a plaster?
Exactly.
Okay, and then that just keeps it going?
That holds it in place. We leave the patches on for about 20 minutes. That's more than enough time for the needles to dissolve in the skin, releasing the vaccine inside, and then you can peel it off, much like a plaster that you would peel off. But what's left has no more needles. The needles have dissolved. They're made out of sugar and other water-soluble safe materials so that you can discard it much like a used plaster, not like a hypodermic needle.
And just finally, before I let you go, when do we have this on the market, maybe?
Oh, it's still a number of years off. We're hoping to do our first human clinical trial with these patches in the next couple of years.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Dr. Mark Prausnitz of Georgia Tech University.
We need these false flag operations around, with, like these two guys down there in Texas trying to shoot up the Jew Pamela Geller's operation down there. The system doesn't necessarily know this is going to happen, but they will take every advantage of it when it does happen to more firmly screw down the lid on your privileges, not your rights. You don't have rights. You only have privileges that the system or the elite allow you to have. And remember, if you don't play their game, and if you get in their way, they'll take those privileges away real fast. But you're going to see a lot more of this onesie-twosie deals where they try to shoot up something here and there. Stuff that's not going to make that big a deal. I mean, you know, they might kill a couple of people, but not going to be anything major, and that's exactly designed that way. They don't want it to get out of hand. But things like this sometimes tend to, sooner or later, get out of hand. And then what will the system do? Because some of these guys are going to get the idea and say, wait a minute, why am I going after these people down here in this little meeting? They're nobodies. I'm going to go after somebody important. Yeah, you wait and see. You'll study the history of anarchism, especially in the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. The anarchists were quite effective, and there's several movies about that, the documentaries. The anarchists were very effective for as long as they kept it going. I don't know the exact reason why they went out of the picture. Probably because the economy improved. You know, as long as people are fat, dumb, and happy, they're not going to risk their lives on being an anarchist or whatever. But there is anarchists around the United States. These guys are not Kropotkin or... I mean, these guys are not the old-time anarchists. These are baby anarchists, you know. Fat, dumb, and happy kids. Call themselves anarchists and run around with communists. That's funny, because the communists and the anarchists used to hate each other. Well, I wonder what Israel is going to do now. They did the same thing we did in this country by bringing black slaves in, but they should have known better. That whole bringing the black Ethiopians in was crazy, man. I think they did it for just short run. I'm okay, you're okay with the progressives and the liberals. But that's like bringing some cockroaches into your house and say, well, we'll just have a few and it won't get out of hand, and pretty soon the cockroaches are eating the whole house. You know, these people are breeding like rats over there. And where are they going to put them all? Where are they going to put all the nigger babies? Yeah. They can't even, you know, a lot of senior citizen Jews over there are starving to death, and or at least not fed well, and they don't have apartments and so forth because they're making room put these other idiots in there. So may have a civil war someday in Israel. I don't know. We'll see. They got the right wing is pretty strong over there, and the left wing is fairly strong, but there's a hell of a lot of white-skinned Jew racists in Israel, that's for sure. Because I read their stuff. They don't pull any punches, man. You know, Irv Rubin, the head of the JDL, back when we were going at each other once in a while, he was not pro-black. He was very anti-black. A lot of people don't seem to remember that, but I do. And I don't think Mark Ahani had any great love for the black race either. Remember, of course, he had wrote that book, They Must Go. Well, we need to have a book like that, They Must Go, the blacks and the Mexicans and so forth. I think it should be, They Must Go or Else. The sign I had out front of my house, no separation, no peace. You can look for my signs up on the resist.com website. We're putting all, or at least most of the signs that I put out in front of my house are going to be up there for you to see. And you can send them around to all your buddies, man. When are these blacks going to figure out that they're at least 250,000 years behind in evolution? And nothing going to change that. And racism is a direct result of tribalism, which expanded into racialism. And it's not just their skin color. That's Mother Nature's mark on them that they can tell us and we can tell them, and we're not of the same bunch. We're not from the same place. And so it's sort of sad, all these blacks, that a lot of them are, you know, pretty decent people. I admit that. But they don't understand. They can never be equal. The only way they can approach being equal is to gene hijack and become lighter and lighter, which has to do with genetics, not just the skin. They try to make that simplistic, and the liberals try to do that, the race mix. Oh, you just hate them because of their skin. Bullshit. It's not just the skin. The skin's just a marker, you know. Like I've told you many times, I like the evolution of social contract by Robert Audrey, Territorial Imperative and Evolution of the Social Contract. You got to read those three books, and then you begin to understand it. Now, if I'm a rabbit, and I'm sitting on a trail in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, and I see way down the trail a lion's coming, what do you think I'm going to do? Am I going to sit there and say, I wonder if this is a friendly lion? He may be okay. Maybe I ought to take a chance and sit here and wait and see what he's going to do. Maybe we can work together or something. No, that rabbit's going to run like a son of a bitch to get away from that lion because he knows that that lion's going to eat him if he gets a chance. Well, that's the same way with us and the blacks. We're not going to take a chance. I see black people coming down the street. I'm watching them like a hawk. And one of the best defenses, too, is to look them straight in the eyeball when they come at you. If you look down and away, that's a sign of weakness, and they love that. That'd be like the rabbit, sort of, pretending the lion's not there. So if you're in that situation, the worst thing to do is not look them right in the eye. But anyhow, it's very simple. Mother Nature's mapped it all out. Evolution's mapped it all out. But everything we're doing today is anti-nature, anti-evolution. You know, might is right. But there is a percentage of the white race that will always know the difference and always know what they've got to do. And it doesn't make any difference how many billions of dollars is spent on race mixing. There's going to be a segment of the white race that are going to be bad motor scooters. They're going to be the great white bear. And when they have to, when they get to that point, and they don't have no other way out, they're going to kill everything in sight. Mark my word. Or at least everything that gets in their way and gives them trouble. I mean, you know, if we can peacefully separate. I'm not a born killer. Never had a desire to be a born killer. But there'll become a time when you'll have to do it. Probably. And if you don't have to do it, then you're going to be lucky in this country. Because all the ingredients are being put into the pot right now. The recipe is there. The economy, all these whites that are pretending they're not racist. And that's probably what pisses the blacks off more than ever is all this pretension. You know, I, like I say, I get along with blacks because I'm straight out with them. Yeah, I'm racist. I'm a racial separatist. Why aren't you? And normally I get along fine. Only with these people that think they're just chocolate-colored white people, I don't get along with them because they've usually got a white wife and stuff like that. But the average working-class black, I can get along with. It's not just getting along, either, that's the protection of the race. Just getting along don't make it. I've traveled around the world, and I've been in some very seedy places. But I was able to operate freely. I never had a problem. Because I know how to get along with people. That doesn't mean I want to mix with them, though. That doesn't mean I want to live beside them and all that kind of stuff. Boy, when the cops over there in Israel beat on this Ethiopian Jew soldier, that was a nitwit. Netanyahu is, he's just going crazy trying to ride his bicycle backwards. Oh, he had the guy come in, the soldier, kissed his ass all over on TV and everything, and he's going to just keep kissing his ass. How do I get out of this mess with this? Who in the hell in the army beat up on this Schwarzer? What am I going to do to get out of this? I'm going to have to kiss this Schwarzer's ass all over Israel. But he knows, and you know, and I know, that this stuff is not forgotten. It's too small a country. The adversaries are not going to leave this one go on both sides. It's going to eat at the Israelis' infrastructure, along with a lot of other things. Well, I see Marie Le Pen has got kicked out of his own party. His own daughter kicked him out of his party. That just shows you how dangerous it is to have something and leave it get out of control. I saw Marie Le Pen jump on the stage recently at a meeting where he was supposed to be being kicked out, and he's raised his arms up and people are clapping like hell. So, see, they'll let a party like this get so far and then they'll pull a rug out from under it. That happens all the time. It happens every time. I was in the American Independent Party in California. I was one of the state leaders of the American Independent Party and worked for Wallace twice in his campaigns. But when they want to pull a rug out from under something, it might go someplace. Usually when they get about, when they get to 20% of the vote, they're going to pull the rug out from under any party. Unless the ruling class wants to take it over and use it for the reasons they want to use it. But you can't tell the right wing anything like that. They don't want to hear that. We like Le Pen. We're going to go with Le Pen. We're going to go with Putin. I haven't talked to the guys I know that are over there in Russia, but I think there's going to be an inclination to be too pro-Putin. Putin is a KGB man. Would you be buddies with a FBI man if he was the president of the country? Well, I wouldn't be friends of a head of the country anyhow. I don't like heads of the country. I don't like them at all. So there you go. I hope that my friends are not propagandized into getting into too much love affair with Putin, because he's just another powerful leader. He may do something once in a while that we like, and then everybody runs around and says, oh, what a wonderful guy Putin is. Putin is a politician. Putin is a very powerful politician, just like the Bushes and the Obamas and like that. These leaders of these countries are all that way. They're power-hungry guys, and you're not going to help your race by running off following leaders of other countries, whether it's Golden Dawn down there in Greece or others. Now, there are a lot of good people involved in these organizations. They don't understand. They get into something. They think that it's going to lead them out of a problem. And the way they run it, it's not going to lead them out of a problem. Golden Dawn is not going anywhere because it's structurally put together all wrong. So this is what you're up against. But the right wing has always got somebody to worship. They got to have somebody to worship. If it's not Jesus, it's somebody else. Oh, this guy's going to save us. He's going to save us. I remember hearing that ever since I was involved in politics. Yeah, if we vote for this guy, he's going to clean the whole thing up. None of them ever cleaned up anything for us. They've all been our enemies in the end. And now look at the Republican Party, the Southern Strategy people on the radio and all over the place, kissing the ass of every nigger comes along. Even when the niggers riot and kill people, they're going to say, oh, well, but they're not all that way. It's only a few. No, don't say it's all up. No, it's only a few. Anybody that attacks black race, well, you're horrible. There's only a few bad apples. That's the right-wing conservatives. I hate them worse than I hate the out-and-out race mixers. I really do. Because at least a lot of the out-and-out race mixers believe what they're saying. They believe it. They believe it'll bring nirvana and everybody's going to love each other. Horribly mistaken, but they at least believe it like a religion. But the conservative right wing, they're so goddamn phony. They are absolutely something that I despise. You know, and all those guys on the radio. You got Rush Scumbaugh, you got Glenn Pecker, you got... Hell, you know who they all are. I listen to them a little bit just to see what's on the agenda today. I flip around to different ones, left and right, and I get quite a bit of information. Can't stay on any of their programs very long. And the blacks, they're racist as hell. Go up there to, I forget his name now, the Eagle. And I give him credit for having guts. But it's pure black racism. And they can condemn white people all day long. And that's okay. Well, it's not okay. And they pretend like, well, the white leadership, the white guys in power, they're representing you. They're not representing me, you dumb nigger. You know what's going on. The white working class is being screwed. And any time even a cop makes a wrong move, he's screwed. No, you listen around to these black radio shows, they're almost talking genocide against the white race. And there's a lot of them that want to see that, and they say that, you know. So anyhow, don't have anything to do with these right-wing conservative talk show guys that you think might have a little sympathy. Well, call in and say, what about let's fight for the white race and see what happens to you. Try that, buddy. Get off my show, you racist bastard, you Nazi son of a bitch. If you want to have any semblance of peace in nigger Africa, the only thing you can do is take their guns away. Take their tanks away, take their flamethrowers away, take all that shit away and leave them with one machete. Yeah, you can have a machete and, you know, you can hack a few people, but you can't have all these weapons. They're killing people every day by the dozens over there, and if you look at the make and serial numbers on the weapons, they come from the United States or England or France or European countries or Eastern European or Russia. Nobody's manufacturing weapons in Africa unless it's the South Africans. And still, the expertise on weapons is primarily white, that the people are still there in Africa, or South Africa. But that's the only way you'll ever stop this, so that you minimize the killing. But why should we? Why should we want to drop the population like General Montgomery recommended to the Queen of England after World War II to annihilate everybody in Africa and turn it into a international park? You don't think he said that? Well, they took it out from a secret list, and that material is out there. He said that. Turn Africa into an international park. That's right. I guess that's why you hear a lot of negative stuff about General Montgomery. He's not talked about much.
France's Front National Party has suspended founder Jean-Marie Le Pen over inflammatory remarks amid an ongoing feud with current party leader, his daughter Marine. Mr. Le Pen refused to attend a party disciplinary hearing after once again minimizing the Holocaust. I speak freely, and this shocks some people, he says. When asked if he's going to continue to speak freely, he said, of course. He adds, I've never spoken in the name of the Front National. I only need to speak in the name of Jean-Marie Le Pen. Many party colleagues have distanced themselves from Mr. Le Pen. You know, Jean-Marie Le Pen is a theatrical monstrosity, he says. You can imagine him putting on his bullfighting costume. It is, in any case, rather mind-blowing. He is a man who does not back down, and he has passed this trait onto Marine. But his daughter, Marine, who has been working to banish the face of the Front National's far-right past, when he made a defiant appearance at the party's annual May Day rally in Paris. The Front National plans to call a meeting in 3 months to strip Mr. Le Pen of his title of honorary chairman.
I just want to know how much money Le Pen's worth. I'll bet he's a multi-millionaire, and his daughter too. You know, this revisionist thing can be very lucrative. There's a lot of people made a lot of money on this anti-Holocaust thing, you know. Whether true or not true, or whether it's exaggerated or not, there are certain people who have made a fortune off of this. Now, I wonder what, with Le Pen being tossed off the party, I wonder what Willis Carto and people like that are doing, because they love Le Pen. Any time a leader like that right winger gets any kind of power in any country, they're off to the races. They go to their big meetings, and incidentally, they go over to Europe and they're allowed into the party meetings and everything else, and the cops never grab them. Never. Tom Metzger even hints that he's going to another country, and they got half the immigration force out at the ports waiting on me. What's that all about? How come some people can get into countries and others can't, that say almost the same thing on a lot of issues? Yeah, how come that is? And how come they're well-to-do people with two or three houses, driving big fancy new cars and all that kind of stuff? And all the right-wing people are hoodwinked into following them along and willing the money, giving them all kinds of money and everything else. Wake up, you dummies. Wake up, you dummies. You know, there's something that's story that's quite interesting. That was an elaborate plan to murder Hitler at the Berghof during World War II, the last year of the war. Very interesting. BBC has got some good stuff on that. You can download it off the internet. And what an operation that was. And also it exposes how bad Hitler's security was. He would go down to the Berghof there in the mountains, and whenever he was there, they'd put the swastika flag on, raise the swastika flag, so everybody knew he was there. Now, in the middle of a war, and you're losing the war, why would you be so stupid as to communicate to everybody that you're at a certain spot where people are looking to kill you? Well, there's a lot of questions about the weird actions of Adolf Hitler. Now, here he had a situation where every morning, predictable, on schedule, he had a little trail there just outside the Berghof, and he'd walk that trail, and he didn't want anybody with him. He wanted solitude, so the security people were kept at arm's length at quite a number of yards behind him and in front of him, enough to where they'd go around a corner and they couldn't see him. So here is one of the most powerful guys in the world walking by himself, getting away from view many times, and the British found out about all this and got themselves some traitors that turned on the Germans, and they planned this elaborate scheme, and it almost went through. I mean, they got two guys. One guy was to help explain to the local people why they were there. The other guy was the shooter with the rifle, the Mauser, with the telescopic sights. And they developed, they had anti-Nazi friends in the village not too far, and they set it all up. But these guys are marching, these two guys are walking down the road. They're all, of course, in German uniform. And the SS truck comes by and tells them, well, get in, we'll take you up to where you want to go. And then they use a flimsy excuse that they don't want to get in the truck and go with them. And obviously, these SS guys are not stupid. And they said, if these guys aren't at this checkpoint in 90 minutes, start looking for them. Well, they should have grabbed them right there and worked them over and found out who they really were. But they didn't. They waited, and then they started going through the woods like mad, and they caught them. But that was very bad security. Very bad. I mean, they needed me to handle the security. I'm sorry, boys and girls. I'm not stupid. I know how to do these things, and I know how to undo them. But that was one of the great plans of the war, was to end the war. And they argued like hell about that. They almost didn't even try the plan, because one side says, well, if we kill them, they're going to make it worse. And the other side said, if we kill them, it's going to end the war. So they finally said, go ahead with it. But it didn't change anything, because they didn't achieve their mission. And, of course, just a few months later, Hitler was dead anyhow. So, anyhow, that's the story. You should watch it. You learn things. Boy, there's documentaries all over the place. You can learn all kinds of stuff. You can study intelligence gathering, all this kind of stuff, till you can be almost an expert. But most people are watching niggers box, or they're watching football, or they're watching basketball. And they say, well, I'm a great white racist, and I'm a white soldier. Well, what do you know how to do? What do you mean? I just shoot somebody. That isn't the way it works, boys. That isn't the way it works. Like the five guys who evidently tried to set up a hit on Morris Dees, and none of them got close to him. I mean, give me a break. Oh, man. He's going to die of some fatal sexual disease anyhow. Don't worry about Morris Dees. But I do see he's going big time after Pamela Geller, this Jewess, on this Texas deal with the having the cartoons made of Muhammad and all that kind of stuff. This is Mickey Mouse stuff. Don't waste your time on it. You know, you don't have to waste your time. They know that a good share of people hate Muhammad. Muhammad was an asshole. I'll stand out in front of my house and put an ad in the paper that I'm going to be there saying Muhammad's an asshole. I don't think anybody would show up. Yeah, anyhow, every news, liberal or conservative, is quoting Southern Poverty Law Center. The left never tell what a rat he is and what a con man he is. They never do that. They have to have him. Because he comes out with the bullshit and they pass it along. That's the way it goes. I'm not concerned with people like Morris Dees. Never have been after the trial. I mean, obviously I was concerned that he was bringing all this money and lawyers from all over the country to try to get me. But after that, as far as I'm concerned, he's doing the best job to make it worse. Worse is better. He's keeping the racial cauldron churning. So he's actually doing us a favor. And also he's getting some of the dumbasses out of the way. There are people that are in the right wing that do everything wrong. They couldn't do anything right if they had to. So if he gets them out of the way for a while, that just might save somebody that's serious. I know my bodyguard, or sort of bodyguard, I don't believe much in bodyguards, but Carl Strait was a stand-up, really expert street fighting guy, and he was about 6'2", I guess, and he was a hard drinking, hard fighting guy. But we used to laugh our ass off about Morris Dees, especially when I had to go someplace and do some kind of a thing for the court case, and he'd be there. I've told you before, he pulled up in a parking lot of this office place where we were supposed to take a deposition. He saw Carl Strait. He wouldn't even get out of the car. And the guy came over and says, he's not getting out of the car until that guy's out of here. I said, well, he's okay. I'll watch him. He's not going to get Morris. And so Morris had run on in the office building. They used to call Carl Strait the bone crusher. Yeah, because he, in the fight at Pennsylvania Railroad Station in L.A., he just knocked the shit out of these Jews. He was throwing them around like rag dolls. And I've told you this before, but a lot of you probably didn't see it. He'd beat him on this guy. Now, these guys tried to get us first. We didn't go out looking for them, so don't say we're troublemakers. We're trying to save our own ass, well, anyhow, because they outnumbered us. So anyhow, he's beating the hell out of this red-headed guy, and then he ran into the little concession place looking for a weapon. He picked up one of these standing ashtrays, you know, that sits on the floor. It's about 4 feet tall, got glass tray in the top. He grabbed that, and the gal said, "You can't do that." He said, "Watch me." He ran back out and started beating on the guy again. Put him in the hospital for weeks. Yeah, they learned not to do that anymore. Even Rubin ran for his life out of that deal. He literally ran for his life. My guys were hot on his trail, but they weren't able to catch him because Rubin had long legs and he would run his ass off. The big bad Rubin, yeah. Oh, yeah, on that assassination of Hitler thing, they figure, after the war, figured it out, and if they would have got Hitler and the war would have stopped right where it was at, you know, within a couple of months, they would have saved 10 million lives because immediately all the camps would have been shut down. The Jews should have been all for killing Hitler because it would have shut the camps down. It would have changed the whole thing real quick. Would have saved 10 million lives. Just think of that. Just remember, the British security and intelligence, SIS and all that, were far more professional than the Germans. There was no comparison whether you like the British or not. They had the best security and best intelligence of any of the countries, including the United States. And they still are pretty damn good, really. Because first-class intelligence information and spying and all that kind of stuff is mandatory if you're going to stay in power or keep things going. You got to have it. The United States has got too much of it. I mean, you got too many bureaus, too many, you know, outfits, too many people working in the Pentagon, all that kind of shit. There's too many. They're getting each other's way. I mean, they can't. Even if they wanted to do something, they'd screw it up like they did the 9/11 with the FBI. They should have, the whole goddamn bureau should have been fired for that one. Now, not to be nasty about it, but the Israelis copied their intelligence service from the British. That's why the Mossad is so effective. That's where they got it, from the British.
Hearing about there and the political issues that come with them, they really, I think, stem from the fact that the Ethiopian Israeli population feels that somehow its treatment, once it was here in the country, never matched the generosity and the romance of the impulse that brought them here. So in effect, they were brought here. They came from a very disadvantaged society. They had, for example, very poor educational standards, and that made it hard for them to integrate. They believe that they are viewed in a racist way, they're discriminated against, and that they have been brought here on that extraordinary historical journey, but brought here, in effect, to be a disadvantaged minority.
What about the official reaction now? We heard there from the President, Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He's also getting involved. He's holding a meeting, I think, with a soldier who was beaten.
The trigger for the last week's violence, Jamie, was this very, very painful video which showed the young soldier, Damis Picada, being beaten quite violently by the police. There's no sound on the tape, but it doesn't look as though there's anything which would remotely justify police aggression. Now, that young soldier has today been introduced to Benjamin Netanyahu. We've already seen television pictures showing Mr. Netanyahu talking about feeling mortified when he saw those pictures and expressing the hope that some good could come of it. Now, anyone who's seen the pictures of the overnight political violence in Tel Aviv will see that the police, the Israeli police, put that violence down with some force. There were mounted police charges, there were water cannons deployed, and stun grenades. So that the security response was very firm, but the political response has been very different. Reuven Rivlin talked about an open wound in Israeli society. Benjamin Netanyahu talked about the hope that somehow good might come from this, so that the political response has been notably conciliatory in tone. They recognize the anger in this Ethiopian-Israeli community. I don't think they have a quick fix for it, a short-term answer, but they want to be seen to be making the right noises. And in effect, Israel is admitting, I suppose, that the grievances of this Ethiopian minority are real and are genuine.
Kevin, thanks very much. Kevin.
Now, if you believe that most Jews love the Negro race, you're really mistaken, because they don't. I've heard too many Jews talk about the blacks and the, what do you call them? Yeah, the Schwarzers. I've been around Jews and heard them talk like that. The only reason, of course, you always got your element of super humanist Jews who want everybody to get along, just like here, the idiots that think everybody's going to get along, we're going to march off into the sunset and love each other. Well, if I'm not mistaken, it was a liberal, more or less a liberal prime minister that designed that plan to bring the Ethiopians in. Do you think that Nitwit Netanyahu would be involved in anything to do that today? Bullshit, they wouldn't anymore bring those Ethiopians in today, the man in the moon. Now he's stuck with it. Sort of like when liberals do something in this country and then the people who are not happy with it have to deal with it. They have to deal with it. So here Netanyahu's having to put on a happy face and hug the little nigger that got beaten up. But racism is rampant, of course, in Israel, as it is everywhere else. It's not nice to try to fool Mother Nature. Mother Nature laid down the rules, man. Evolution laid down the rules, and you're not going to change it. And now it says they're stuck with this open sore in Israel. Well, it could be part of the final solution in Israel to the state of Israel. It's too small a country to have too much of this going on. So I told you a long time ago, Israel is on its way out. It may be 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, but they're on their way out. And if you think that the main differences of Israel in applying themselves to the Palestinians is not racial, you're crazy. It is racial. They'll use religion as the excuse, like they do everywhere else, on all sides. But the majority of animosity towards the Palestinians is their race. And the leadership of the Jewish state has been primarily white-skinned Jews from the very beginning. Europeans. They're not from North Africa. It's crazy, man. The whole damn thing is crazy. I'd find this piece of information a little interesting. Of the five Supreme Court justices are Roman Catholic. Now, you hear people going crazy about the Jews. Well, I don't want any religious bloc controlling the Supreme Court. With five of them being Roman Catholic, that sends a bad message. And who is an atheist on the Supreme Court? Do you think there could be an atheist? Then you wonder why things are figured out the way they're figured out and how they adjudicate and all that kind of stuff. They're starting from misinformation and false belief in the first place. But even then, I think they should have, you want a Jew, okay, have a Jew. You want a Christian, have a Christian. But I think you should have at least a couple of atheists on the Supreme Court. There, I've offended a whole bunch of people there. Well, that's too damn bad. You know, I've always been suspicious of people that all they talk about is the Jews. You know, it's like people who get hung up on is the homosexuals. The homosexuals, that's all they want to talk about. Like a buddy of mine told me one time, he went to a big get-together on anti-homosexuals put on by the Christians in some big amphitheater. He said the preacher got so wound up on homosexuals that the sweat was dripping off his head. And he said, Tom, the guy's a closet homosexual. A lot of these people that attack the homosexuals so badly are partly or homosexual, to be perfectly honest. There's still a lot of closet ones around that, well, look at the Jews who have been in the forefront of persecuting Jews, Torquemada and the French Inquisition, or the Spanish Inquisition, and so forth. And many of the persecutors of the Jews in the German Wehrmacht were at least part Jews themselves. So anyhow, this, you got to watch it. Don't let people lead you down the path of just zeroing in on one thing and not everything else. Because, believe me, if we cleaned out all the rats in our race, things would be pretty good. Yeah. We clean up our race and get rid of all the rats in our own race, and things would be going pretty well. Now, if you're a movie kind of guy like I am, I love movies. I've always loved movies. I don't like every movie I see. There's a lot of ratty, crummy movies out there. But there's a movie I want to point you to I think you're going to like. I'll tell you something else. The Devil's in the Details. You got to watch this thing. The Devil's in the Details. It's wild, man. Something that's a little bit amusing when you're thinking about the racial situation now, South Africa, people, blacks from all over Africa fleeing occupation, military occupation and civil wars, are pouring across the borders into South Africa. And guess what? South African niggers are out there trying to kill them and run them back across the border. I mean, it's no longer a white-black thing. It's a black-black thing.
But don't underestimate their authority. They're racists masquerading as patriots. Germany for Germans. On the surface, they're all about anti-immigration, preservation of the Aryan race. But
here's something I want you to listen to very carefully, because it can affect you and how long you're going to live, man. Listen to this.
The moderate activity a week. But they discovered that if you just every hour walk for 2 minutes, it was associated with a 33% lower risk of dying. How amazing is that? So now I know what I'm doing during the breaks. Okay.
So if you didn't hear that, it was a little low. If every hour, if you get up and walk for 2 minutes, it lowers your risk of dying tremendously. Every hour, walk for 2 minutes. Do it for Daddy. Do it for the terrible Tommy. And I need to do it myself. Easy for me. I've got a flight of stairs that I have to go up and down it many, many, many times a day to go from the bunker to the upper level. And that's got to take care of my walking there. Another documentary you should look up, and that's Manufactured Descent. I believe it's Descent. Manufactured Descent. I think it's a couple hours long, but it's damn good. Come from the left, but it's good.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. We met at a truck stop,
We were counting all the money, smoking stolen Marlboros. Lord, we never saw him coming till they read us both our rights. Disappointed.